Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist of billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
And it's about what do I have to help? It's not about just being a speaker and being famous and all that. Influence trumps fame. If you influence people and what you speak delivers a message that helps people to teach them and motivate them, which is something that we were talking about, which is a process that's been learned too, then you deliver results, then they're gonna want more of it. You people can go up there and deliver a perfect keynote speech, and in speech class they'll get an A+. But in me paying them to come speak for me, they'll get $0. Because that's great, but that's not what I need for the I need someone that's gonna deliver that impact and motivate and be on point and give those results, like those actionable steps of like also the how.
Yeah. But you know, everybody just needs to just, you know, be honest with where you are right now.
Yeah.
And don't try to be above where you are right now. If you're where you're at and you have struggles, deal with them, knock them out, get them out the way. And by doing that, the next step automatically comes to you. The next step approaches you. It's just like right now, if you're bummy and you look dirty when you go outside, people aren't gonna talk to you.
Yeah.
But if you go outside and you're clean and you look professional and you look decent,
yeah,
you're gonna start to get highs.
Yeah.
So yeah. if you
don't
work
have
on
to
your,
wear a suit and tie.
No.
It's just clean yourself up.
And you'll start to get highs, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing if you work on your craft constantly and you keep drawing something, writing something, doing videos and putting them out, and you keep doing it, over time you're cleaning up.
Yeah.
And because you clean up, you get attention from other people.
Yeah.
But when you try to look for it, you try to please every group, and now nobody knows what to say to you.
Yeah. And you got to continue to, we all learn from each other, and we all take, I take wisdom from this person, wisdom from that, then I apply it to my own life, to me. So we have stuff that comes from a lot of the different grades. It's like seasoning. It's not just salt and pepper. Season. Mix it all. And that makes a big difference. But you hit a topic there before of when people are not trying to pretend to be something that you're not, but also on the other end of that, sometimes we're going through the exact struggle that we're teaching on the next day. And that doesn't make you a fake. Storms come and go. You might be called tomorrow to go. Les Brown talked about it. And this is where you have to have your vision has to be bigger than your circumstances. Because he said, I love how transparent he is. He talks about, I got to spend time with him here in person. That was amazing. Drove him around in my car. That's a separate story. Oh gosh, he said motivating people is keeping him alive as he's battling cancer. But separate story. But he was talking about, gosh, what was I saying? I just went on an ADD little side triangle there. See, I don't pretend to be what I'm not. I admit that I can get all over the place. But I was about to land that plane. Les Brown was speaking. As you're editing this, just keep that in. You can see the nonsense. because it's going to make sense. But he was speaking, saying, I was booked to speak at a business tomorrow about how to go after your dreams and how to be prosperous and take it to the next level. And I'm homeless, sleeping in an office. And tomorrow I'm booked to speak to tell people how to live their dreams and how to build your business. But in my current circumstances, I got voices in my head at night telling me, you can't go speak tomorrow on telling them how to live a better life. All of them have a house or an apartment. You're living in your office. But I don't think that's being a fake. I think that's what makes you more real, because deep down, the speech he delivered helped them, because he was sharing of all he's overcome to get to where he is, to even be talking to them. And hearing that and giving the teaching things of how he got through those levels, it didn't matter the current circumstances. And I think that's so important that a lot of you listen to, because including myself, I'll get hit with storms. They come and go all the time. And a lot of times it'll be right in the moment when I'm getting ready to do something bigger, and it will hit. And then the doubt will sink in, like, man, if I'm going through this, maybe I'm not good enough to do that. And that's where you have to, and share what you do, but that's where, for me, I got to, like, continue to, like, to almost, like, close my eyes and step into that forward vision of what my bigger calling is, my bigger purpose. And that, like, takes me out of my current circumstances that I'm in now, and then reminds me, yes, I'm going to show up and do that, because that bigger vision of my why, this is, like, continuing to lead towards that. And these current circumstances don't dictate where that further vision is. But that in-between of, like, what you're in now, of when Les Brown was sleeping in the office and speaking, was some years to be able to get to that next level. Yep. And it's those years that a lot of people give up or think, I'm not good enough.
Yeah, so when we're talking about going after the dream, that him sleeping in the office is part of the dream.
Exactly.
And sometimes we got to go backwards to be able to go forward. We got to give things up. You have to say, you know what? This looks good in my hand. It feels good. But because it takes two hands to hold it, I can't use a hand to execute anywhere else.
Yeah.
So if I want something else, because there's always something better, right? Whatever you have, there's something better.
Yeah.
So you have to put this down to free your hands up to do something else. So sometimes you got to free up things that you consider stressful in your life, or things you consider to be great in your life, to get to something else.
Yes.
You got to bring on a new pain. Right? When you lift weights and you work out, you rip your muscles, you tear them, and then you got to give your body pop some days to heal. And then when it heals, it's stronger, right?
But when you first start, you go look and you won't see anything.
You don't see anything. But the muscles are ripped up. Like, you're really
it's
ripping
happening
the muscles
underneath, but the externally that no one sees.
You don't see it
yet.
But when it heals, it comes back hotter.
Yeah.
So if you go through pain, on the other side of pain, you come out tougher.
Yeah.
Right? So you get a mental toughness. So instead of avoiding the pain, jump into pain. If I'm going through pain and I'm speaking to you with a level of intensity, like there's another feeling, right? Like it becomes spiritual now.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be religious on y'all, but
no, it's
it becomes spiritual, because I'm
spiritual.
Going through this right now, and honestly, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, no.
You're
it
getting
is.
Me in the moment when I'm talking to myself, and I'm like, yup. Boom, the 1-800 numbers are calling you. Yup, you can't sleep at night. Yup, you got to put food on the table. And I'm starting to feel like it's building up. And I'm like, I can't stop. And neither can you.
No.
Right?
No,
so I'm not. And the crazy thing is, I'm not even talking to the audience no more.
No, this is just when you get going and you're pat it, I don't even remember. I'll finish. I'll watch it. And I'll hear stuff I said. And I'll be like, man, that was... I don't know where that came from, but that sounded like I got in. It's like spiritual. So it continues to take over. But you won't find that miracle territory in your comfort zone.
Don't exist.
But when you get out of it, and what Peter's saying too is, you know, we've heard the saying before, you got to give up to go up. But let's give you a concrete example going back to Les Brown. And I know we've each had tons of examples in our own life. When you, my friend Greg Walker, I was telling you about, the big dreamer, been on here a lot. His first subway, he lived in the subway. Now, he could have afforded to take a loan out and get enough, but he knew he had to put everything into it so people could see him and say, what a loser, you're sleeping in your office. And then in his head, he would be battling thoughts like, how can I manage staff? How can I, I'm sleeping in my office, I'm keeping that, I'm a loser. But that's the smartest thing he could do. That's the thing, it's a sacrifice you have to temporarily make so that you can get to that next level. My first office was in a barn in the recession. I wasn't holding board meetings there. I didn't want anyone to know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was getting them the information that they needed. I'm going and meeting with board members for fighting against the government, and my office is in a barn. But if I went and wasted, see, some people think, and they've seen them do this, they go and they rent the office at the top of the skyscraper that's 20 grand a month, and they go bankrupt in 8 months, and they give up because they think it's all about what I gotta show people and what they have to have, and that's not what it's about.
Somebody right now, no matter what level you're at, there's someone that's craving the information you have.
Yeah.
So you might only be at level 3, but there's somebody at level 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So therefore, you might feel like you're doing terrible. How do you think 1 and 2 feel?
Yeah.
So what you have to do is you have to go and find the 1 and 2s. You have to get them to be a level 3. And then you got to find the level 4 that you can pay to get information from.
Yep.
And you get information from level 4. So level 1 and 2 pay you. You pay level 4. You get to level 4. You start to pay level 5. But now you can teach 1 through 4.
Yeah.
And not only can you teach 1 through 4, but you can charge a little more.
Yeah.
Because you're more comfortable.
Yeah.
So you just got to get to the point.
And you earned it more. Yeah.
You earned it.
Yep.
So you got to get to the point and say, yeah, I'm going through pain. I'm going through my trials, my tribulations. I'm stressed out. Last night I thought about taking myself off the face of the earth.
And by the way, I've been there. Right. So I know you've been there.
Yep.
So, I mean, I just want to keep it real with all of you. To you see us in the studio and everything now. I know me back in the day, I would have thought, I can never be like these two guys. They don't ever have fear. They don't have doubt. I've been through, and you read Pierre's book, he gets really real. I don't want to even give it away. He opens up about so many, he gets real in there. That's what I love about it. Man, I wanted to take my life. So I thought about it so many times.
Listen, I read something
this morning. I was joking. It was a while ago.
They said that 95% of entrepreneurs go through depression.
Yeah.
95. So if 95% of entrepreneurs go through depression, it's something that, you know, I look and I say, yeah, it might show up. But when it shows up, my drive for the big picture is what fights the depression. My job isn't to take time to fight depression all day. But when I look at the picture, the big picture, and I say, yep, at the end of this road, this is what I want. Now, that don't mean when I get there, I don't want something else, because I do. I just don't know what it is yet, right? But right now, I'm focused on the big picture. So when life is going bad today and the depression kicks in, I'm like, hold on, life's not bad. The moment is bad. I'm in a moment of madness. So to get out of the moment of madness, I say, oh, let me look at the big vision, and then let me make a decision on what I'm going to do today based on the big vision, not based on the moment of madness that I'm going through. So the vision gets to fight depression. I get to fight for the vision.
That's right. That's right. Amen. And 95, look, what you just said, that's real. Go 95% of entrepreneurs, but you said go through depression. I loved how you said that. Yeah. Not have depression, because when you say you have it, that means it's part of me. Go 95%, 100% of us go through fear. You see, you said a key word right there. they feel the depression, but they go through it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't become it. You go through it. And all of us, I would say 100% of us at different seasons go through it at different levels even. And one thing that I do, a lot of times it's contrary to what you would think, is I'll sometimes encourage people even more when I'm going through some of my darkest times.
Yeah.
Because it's helping them, but in a way it is selfishly helping me. And it reminds me of my why. Like sometimes when I'm going through the biggest doubts, like Les Brown's sleep, and I'll go out and I'll encourage people even more. And what, because I know what the opposite did when I would sink into my doubts and my pity party, and you just fall deeper and deeper into that hole. And everything in your feelings, like you're saying in the moment, it's saying don't help. You can't help someone, like you can't help yourself. But that your feelings aren't real, your actions are.
Yeah.
And there's always someone you can help. And you get out there, it could even just be saying something nice to someone. Like, man, just, hey, you did a great job on that. I appreciate you. I just, you know, I really, that, as simple as that, a nice smile to someone. Something just as simple as that. And then also, I try to be great, like, I know people talk about gratitude a lot, but when I'm going through it a lot, I try to really put it in perspective as to, like, the essentials. Like, we got food and water. We have heat. You live in Arizona. It's 120. You have air conditioning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. There's people like in my wife's country that are living in tin metal shacks, and it's 100 plus. Plus, it's radiating heat in there. Mm-hmm. And they don't. And when they call 911, there's no ambulance to show up because there's no hospitals. So that starts putting me like, okay, we're not even talking Obamacare. We're talking there's no. You dial 911, no one shows
there's
up.
There's no kid.
You can be anywhere in America, you dial 911, it's going to, ambulance will come.
If you're in the hood, it's going to take a little while.
It may take longer. It may take longer, yeah. But it will come.
It will come.
It does exist. That's funny. And it's true in some ways. But honestly, even in that situation, you can be more grateful than someone that's in a tin shack that... Someone dies, and there is no 911 to call. There is no hospital.
This is the thing, right?
You know?
And I just want to keep it basic because, and I want to simplify this thing. When you're going through life and you come up on a hard time, at the end of the hard time, when you make it through, you're high fiving people and you feel so relieved and you feel great. Like it's the best you felt in a long time. You're like, wow, it's over. Man, I'm so happy. I'm glad it turned out this way, right? Even if it didn't turn out the way you wanted, you're like, man, I'm just glad it's over. And you feel different. So if you know going through trials and tribulations and going through pain makes you feel better on the other side, why would you ever avoid something that makes you feel better?
And a lot of, whether you avoid it or not, things are still gonna happen. You can stay in your comfort zone, and you're still gonna get struck with adversity.
You are. So, but the thing is, I want what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Right. I know if I'm in a comfort zone and I feel good inside my bubble,
it's
at some point the bubble's gonna pop though.
Yeah. That's
because it's not always gonna be good. It's good for the moment.
Yep.
The bad time's gonna come again.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it and I'm like...
It's like you said, it's like you're building those adversity muscles.
Like, I can't wait. It's going to come already. Let it come because I know where I'm going. This is why it's important to know where you're going. You get confused when your picture and your vision's not clear.
Yeah.
When it's not mapped out for you. If someone says, do this, this, and this, and you go in this room to do it, you're going to be like, what did they just say? But if they write it down, step one, boom, and you got it. Step two, boom, you got it. It's detailed steps.
Yeah, yeah.
That means in life it's the same.
And you adjust and strategize along mm-hmm. the way, but you got to start. And let's break this down a little more for people, because a lot of us hear a vision.
Yep.
But let's give them a concrete example, because... Someone's vision might, you know, it's also connected to your why. Mm-hmm. So if your vision is just, we hear people, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be, is all you're seeing is I want to have $1 billion and I want to have 3 Lamborghinis and a mansion. And there's nothing wrong with that. No. I mean, peers, I'm thankful to live in the house I live for, mm-hmm. in the neighborhood, but that was a speck of what's the word I'm looking for? That is almost like a piece of what comes from the vision. Mm-hmm. But the vision has to be, like, what I'm trying to say is if that's all you're going for, you're going to give up. That's not enough to keep you going.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying to erase those things from your vision. You should write, I want to have, you know, X amount. That's great to have that. Mm-hmm. But can you help describe some other things of what you know, you're good at bringing it back down. Of if someone's like, what if they don't know what their vision is?
So if you don't know, then you just have to keep trying stuff, right? You have to keep plugging in to something. If it works, or you start to do it for a little while and you're like, you know what, I don't like this, then do something else. And you're like, I don't like this, then do something else. And then I don't like this, and then do something else. And you're like, oh, I like this. Okay, do it. But you can't stop doing it when you run into something that you don't like about what you like doing. Right? So most people say, like,
so you can't just focus on your strengths?
No. People
great,
might say, you know
way
what?
To get into that too.
I wanna speak, and I put up the camera and I'm talking in front of the camera. I never said, oh, I don't want to speak in front of this camera, that's stupid. Because that's part of being a speaker. So I had to be 45 minutes in front of the camera, talk to myself, felt stupid. But it all worked out at the end, right?
So, and there's times when you didn't feel like doing it before you did it.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Because people say, if you do what you love, you'll never have to work another day of your life. I get, the guy that wrote the foreword of my book says that, and I agree with the mentality of what he's mm-hmm. saying overall, because that's connected to your why. But on the other hand, if you do what you love, you'll actually have to work harder than you've ever worked in your life.
In your life.
Not only that, you have, and they say you have 99% of success is showing up, and it's regardless of how you feel.
Yes.
Because a lot of times that's where you keep tapping into, you bring it back to you sitting in front of the camera by yourself.
Yeah.
And in the circumstances, you could be like, this is ridiculous. Then you tap into that bigger vision of what's this leading to. See it leading to help give them an example?
I seen it leading to me just getting better. Right? I just seen it leading to why was I want to get better.
For what? Why do you want to get better?
I want to get better because I want my kids to see me. And it's not for them, right? Let's be very clear. Everybody always says, oh, I'm doing it for my kids. No. I want them to be able to do something greater for their kids. It's not about them, right? My kids, they're going to be good because I'm going to make sure they're good. But I need their kids to be good. So I need my kids to see me never quit. I need them to see me. When they first see me speak, I froze within the first 10 seconds. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what to say. I said, coach, help me. That's what I said to the football coach, to the high school team. I said, coach, I don't know what to say.
That happened to you? That happened to me?
And
too.
I was like, oh, man.
You never told me that story.
And my son and my daughter, they're both comedians, right? So we're driving home, and my son said, Dad, I said, what, man? And he was like, oh, man, I forgot. Oh, man. And he kept hitting me with the oh, man. So what I did was I went home. I said, yo, I'm glad y'all find it funny.
Yeah.
But let me show you what champions do.
I don't give up.
I went back into the garage with my little camcorder that I said, oh, man, in front of, and I kept pounding it. And every time I went to go speak after that for about 6 months, they said, don't oh, man, Dad. Don't oh, man. And then I took him to one of the events, and my son was like, ooh, Dad. He was like, you're better now.
And so he saw, but that's so key.
Mm-hmm.
Because they saw the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And they saw, you didn't, and they knew, like, that wasn't fun.
Yeah. So what that
but
says
you didn't
is,
give up, and you shows them that you put the work in, and that's what it, people see the after. So when you get big, it's because of all these other things that have got you there, and then people see that, And they think I must have this to start anywhere, and it's not the truth.
Because people are looking at...
And it takes courage to record yourself and watch it, by the way.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you.
I hated watching it. I hated listening to my old podcast.
I hate it now. It's terrible.
But I know I need to do it to get better. Yeah,
that's where it all comes from. So the thing is when you put out the content and you put out the information, people see it after you done been there doing 5-6 takes, 20 takes. It's been edited, so it comes out great.
But when they see it,
and they're like, oh my goodness, I like that. It took me 2 days to get that to you.
And anyone can almost, you can have the best produce in the world and make you put together a great video of B-roll and all that and the voiceover.
Yeah.
But when you're live,
you
don't get, I mean, the final video may come out like that, but you're in front of the people, you don't get an edit.
So what that says is, don't identify the people that are doing what you want to do, look at them, and then what I want you to do is I want you to try to trace their career all the way back. And watch them from the beginning, and watch, you're going to see that what they was putting out or what they was doing was not as good as it is now. So don't study where they're at. I want you to backstep, right? Reverse engineer this thing. Look at them in the beginning, and then I want you to find that point that matches where you are now.
Yes.
And then that's where you begin to study them from. Because if you study where they are now, and they're already doing big numbers, and they're already out there.
Yeah, like one course. They may have one course now that applies to where you'll be in 8 levels.
Yes.
But it might even be... They might not even have a book. I might even be reading their biography on Wikipedia of Napoleon Hill. I was just reading about that was born in poverty, and his mom died when he was 10 years old, and then had 2 failed magazines that fell through, and then had an assassination attempt. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know
that. His friend got murdered that was supposed to be a hit on him because he started speaking outwardly about things.
He
fled back into hiding. See, this is the stuff that motivates me.
Mm-hmm.
We see him now as the author of Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
One of the biggest personal development books, selling over 30 million copies worldwide. But that backstory. So you might be someone that's in that poverty right now thinking, well, I can't make it. I was born poor. Like you're saying, see where they were.
Mm-hmm.
It may even be reading that before you even read his book.
The crazy thing is people make them assumptions and never sat down and had the opportunity to talk to a successful business owner.
Yeah.
To talk to, you know, a millionaire, a multi-millionaire. So they don't understand the steps. And when they do, they don't know the questions to ask.
Yeah.
So you start to ask questions to where it's like if you're in the first grade trying to do high school math.
Yeah.
It's so complicated. You're hearing stuff that you can't comprehend.
Yeah.
So you have to know where you are, because your questions, when you do get the opportunity, have to be based on where you currently are. So you got to know how to bring this person back to a level that can help you and not them talk to you about where they are, because that's a foreign language.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, I said, one day I'm gonna have the opportunity to sit down with Jay-Z and ask Jay-Z a couple of questions.
He's gonna be sitting right where you are.
And I'm sitting here and I'm like, yo, what do I ask Jay? And I think about this all the time, right? How do I get, because where he is now, he might not remember when he was like at my little peon stage. You know what I'm saying? He might not know, but
get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and oldnavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle. Bird poop. Drone. Seen it? Covered it. Click for more.
We are Farmers. Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.